Larry Sanger, like me, is a refugee from this highly democratized media. He co-founded Wikipedia with Jimmy Wales a few years ago, and he got so sick and tired of the crazy guys on the editorial boards who would bully him and argue him that he went off and founded another organization, another online encyclopedia called Citizendium, which relies more on experts. So you might think of Citizendium as somewhat of a compromise between Britannica and Wikipedia. And I give the example of Citizendium in my solution section, saying that we can't necessarily all go back to old media, but at the same time, we need the best solution is a compromise, a combination of the best and of old and new media, the best of the authority of old media and the openness and energy of new media. And Citizendium is one of the examples I use in my solution section.
With the explosion of blogs and readers going online, of course, we know that newspapers are struggling mightily, and you write about that a lot in your book. We've heard a lot about citizen journalism in the last few years, and you take a knock at that and use an example, what came out of New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina hit.
Yeah, I think that the problem with citizen journalism is that some of it is probably very credible. Some of it is produced by extremely intelligent and passionate people. But the problem with it is it's very unreliable because we disintermediate the editor, the fact checker, the publisher. We never know quite what to believe. So of all those blogs that came out after Katrina, some of them were probably true, but many of them weren't. And you need a professional media with the resources to actually prove it. It's rather like the Walter Mead medical case over the Iraq War. This was something, perhaps the most important press breakthrough in terms of treating veterans. This could only be achieved by Washington Post reporters, not necessarily because they're smarter or because they're more virtuous. I don't doubt the virtuousness of many bloggers, but because they have the resources, because they have the time, the money, the team, the investment to be able to do this kind of digging. So the blogosphere has occasionally, I acknowledge, that they have occasionally broken interesting stories. I think they were responsible for the Duke Lacrosse story, and mainstream media did actually a rather bad job on that. But generally, for the really big stories, for Iraq, for something like Watergate, the really important stories are going to be broken by mainstream media. And the problem with the blogosphere is that most bloggers aren't making any money. So in my book, I talk about one called Guy Kawasaki. He's a top 50 blogger. Now, out of 70 million, that's a pretty big deal. He gets many, many thousands of readers a day. And in 2006, he earned from his blog $3,500. So by definition, the vast majority of bloggers are amateurs. They need a day job. And the problem with that means that they really can't focus on high-quality journalism because they need to put food on the table. And the other problem, of course, about that is they're very vulnerable to corporate influence, to put it politely. There's a new development on the internet now called flogging, which are bloggers who are in the pay of corporations and essentially are paid to write nice things about products. But it's not revealed. It's not formally engaged with advertising. So you'll go to a blog, you'll read a wonderful thing about a new computer or a new fast food, and you'll think that that's legitimate. And in fact, that blogger is in the pay of Walmart or Burger King or McDonald's or ExxonMobil or the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or, God forbid, Al-Qaeda.
We're speaking again with Andrew Keene. He's the author of the new book, The Cult of the Amateur. Now, Andrew, as you document, as people well know this, of course, the internet has become the superstore for so many things. We know that when Amazon.com broke out a decade or so ago, their success hurt independent bookstores. But it's been recently documented, another great place for music lovers has been independent record stores or big ones like Tower Records. In your book, you report from a record store that I'm very sad to see go, and that was, of course, the Tower Records on Columbus and Bay in San Francisco. Do you think we lose something as a society when we lose stores like that?
Yeah, I think we're losing the whole retail infrastructure. Bookstores, especially independent bookstores, but even chain bookstores, record stores, DVD stores, they're all essentially history. It's very, very sad. Now, Chris Anderson, the author of The Long Tail, some of your readers may have read that, which is the opposite of my argument. Chris Anderson says that bookstores are what he calls the roadkill on the way to this digital nirvana. But if they're the roadkill, I'm not sure if we really want to go into this digital utopia. The reality is that Amazon and Netflix and all these other online services are killing independent retail, which means that we don't have that human expertise. When we wander into our local bookstore, we know the person who works there. They're going to be a book lover. They may know us. They have a local kind of flavor. They're passionate. They're honest. The problem with Amazon, and I use it myself, and I acknowledge that there are many strong features about Amazon, but the problem with Amazon is it's not really personalized. There's an artificial algorithm which imagines it knows what it wants, but that is nothing comparable to human intelligence, to the passion and expertise, often lifelong, of the person who works in the bookstore, the bibliophile, or the person who worked in the Tower Record store, who loved music. That's irreplaceable, and unfortunately, it's going away. And I fear for our children and our children's children, they are going to grow up in a world where the only place you will be able to buy music is at iTunes or Amazon. The only place that you're going to be able to access a DVD is Netflix. The only place in which you're going to be able to see the news is on online sites rather than newspapers. Analog world, the physical world of information and entertainment, seems to be going away. Even the cinema itself, the movie theater, might ultimately be history.